Okay, so to start us off today, I want to put you in a very specific, a very uncomfortable headspace.
Oh boy. All right.
Just for a second, I want you to imagine the sound of wind, but not, a gentle breeze. I'm talking a howling, deafening gale that feels like it's physically trying to tear the clothes off you.
It's that kind of sound that just cuts right through you, right to the bone.
Exactly. And the only other thing you can hear, the only thing grounding you at all, is the crunch of metal crampons biting into hard ice. And of course, your own desperate, ragged breathing.
Wow.
You are, as one of our sources put it perfectly, a tiny speck of heat in a world of cold indifference.
That is, what a terrifying image to start with. I mean, that sounds less like a game and more like an actual nightmare.
It is, isn't it? But that is the exact unadulterated atmosphere of Cairn. It's a survival climbing game that just came out this year, 2026.
And it's getting these rave reviews, being called a masterpiece of isolation.
It really is. And I have to be honest, just reading the breakdown of this game, just looking at the screenshots in our source material, it gave me a little bit of vertigo.
It's fascinating how media can do that,
Yeah.
give you such a visceral, physical reaction without you even touching a controller. It really speaks to how primal that fear of falling is for us.
So that's our mission for this deep dive. We're going to explore Cairn. We want to understand how a game with absolutely no monsters, no guns, no real villains, and a really minimal story.
How does that become one of the most terrifying and apparently rewarding experiences of the year?
It really challenges what we think of as a thriller in gaming.
Totally. Usually a thriller means you're being chased by something. Here, the thrill just comes from existing somewhere you're not meant to be.
And to guide us up this virtual mountain, we're digging into a really definitive review. It's called Ascending the Abyss.
And it's incredibly comprehensive. It breaks down the mechanics, the psychology, the tech performance, all of it.
And the theme that just keeps coming up is man versus nature in its absolute most brutal form.
Or woman versus nature, given our protagonist. But yeah, if you zoom out, this is really a study in the philosophy of punishment and reward in games.
How so?
Well, it asks you, the player, a very uncomfortable question. How much pain are you willing to endure for a view that nobody else has ever seen?
Let's unpack that concept because on paper, the premise sounds, well, incredibly simple, maybe even a little boring to some people.
Right, if you're used to high octane action.
Exactly. You play as Avo, she's a professional climber, and she's obsessed with this one specific unnamed peak.
A monolithic peak, yeah. And the stakes are laid out right away. This isn't just a fun climb. The source material makes it really clear that this mountain has claimed the life of every single person who tried before her.
I mean, that's a pretty intense way to start a game. Everyone else died. Good luck.
It sets this tone of like inevitable dread. It's not just this is hard, it's people think this is impossible. It frames your whole journey not as a sport, but as a defiance of fate.
And what's so interesting is how they tell that story. The review compares it to games like Elden Ring or Journey. You're not getting these long cinematic cutscenes where Avo explains her backstory or why she's there. No flashbacks.
No, and that's such a crucial design choice. It's minimalist storytelling. The narrative is all environmental.
What do you mean by that?
You aren't told the mountain is dangerous. You're shown it. You'll be climbing, and you find the frozen bodies of past climbers.
See, to me, that's so much creepier than a cutscene. Finding a body tells a whole story without a single word. You can't help but imagine their last moments.
It creates this sense of like archaeology. You're piecing together the tragedy of those who came before you while trying not to become the next exhibit yourself.
It reinforces that core feeling, that word you used, isolation.
Exactly. You're not the hero of some grand story. You're just the latest person to try.
The review keeps coming back to that phrase that you feel like that tiny speck of heat. It's not just about climbing, it's about being fundamentally unwanted by the environment.
Precisely. The mountain is the antagonist. But unlike a villain who, actively hates you, the mountain just doesn't care that you exist.
It's indifferent.
Total indifference. It doesn't want to be conquered, but it won't go out of its way to kill you. It just is. And that indifference is, I think, what's so frightening. It makes you feel so small.
So let's get into how you actually interact with this giant, indifferent antagonist, because I think a lot of listeners might be picturing something like Uncharted or Assassin's Creed.
Right, where you just hold the stick forward and press a button.
Yeah, and your character just magically leaps up a wall like a spider monkey with magnetic hands.
Far from it. I mean, that kind of automation would completely ruin this game. The review calls the climbing engine the beating heart of Cairn. The developers built what they call a body awareness system.
Okay, a body awareness system. It sounds like a tactical simulation for climbing. Break that down for us. What does that actually feel like to play?
So it means you have independent limb control. You aren't just pushing Avo generally upward. You have to, say, select her left hand with a trigger and then physically guide it to a specific hold with the analog stick.
Yeah.
Then you lock it in. Then you do her right foot and find a ledge.
So every single movement is a deliberate, conscious decision. You're basically puppeteering her body.
And it's a risky process.
Yeah.
This is where the simulation part really kicks in. If you choose a piece of rock that looks unstable, you'll slip.
Huh.
If you stretch a limb too far, you lose your balance and swing out. You have to really understand the geometry of Avo's body in relation to the rock face. It's almost like a puzzle game.
But the puzzle is your own body mechanics.
Exactly.
Wow, that sounds incredibly stressful, like a game of Twister, but with lethal consequences.
It is, but that stress is the whole point.
I can see how satisfying it would be when you get it right, though. It forces you to be so deliberate. You can't just zone out.
Not for a second.
And then there's the gear. The review talks a lot about pitonons. For anyone who isn't a climber, what's the deal with those?
This is where the strategy really comes in. Pitons are those metal spikes that climbers hammer into the rock to secure their rope. In Cairn, they act as your manual checkpoints.
Wait. Manual checkpoints. So the game doesn't just autosave for you every few feet.
No. No autosaves on the wall. And here's the kicker. You have a limited number of them.
Oh, wow. Okay, that changes everything. That turns it into a resource management game.
It creates what the source calls scarcity tension. I mean, imagine you're 20 minutes into this grueling part of the climb. Your hands are sweating both in the game and on your controller. You've got 3 pitons left.
Do you use one now?
Right. Do you burn one now to secure your progress? Or do you push your luck for another 10 meters to save it for a section you think might be even harder?
That is an agonizing choice. Because if you fall without placing one...
You fall all the way back to the last one you placed. That could be 30 minutes of progress just gone. In a second.
So your inventory isn't just a backpack of items. It's your actual lifeline. You're literally weighing your safety against your future needs.
Precisely. And speaking of lifelines, the rope physics sound just insane. The source says the rope isn't just a visual line on the screen. It's a physical object in the world.
Which is so rare. Usually in games, ropes are just these straight lines that clip through everything. You never have to think about them.
Not here. In Cairn, your rope can actually tangle around your legs. It can get snagged on a jagged piece of rock.
That sounds maddeningly realistic.
It is, but it's also the only thing that catches you when you fall. So it adds another layer to that body awareness. You have to manage your rope just as much as your hands. If you let it get tangled, it could shorten your fall distance abruptly and send you swinging into the rock.
So it's not just the mountain fighting you, it's your own equipment if you're not careful.
It all adds to the feeling that you're just
your
clumsy person tangled in gear trying to go up, not a superhero.
So let's just recap the mental workload here. You're managing your individual limbs. You're scanning the rock face for stability. You're managing your rope. You're managing your piton inventory. But that's not even all of it. Because apparently just getting to the top isn't the only problem. You have to keep Avo alive, like biologically.
And this is the survival part of the survival climber genre. The review breaks it down into what it calls a survival triad. 3 critical meters you have to constantly keep an eye on.
Let's run through these because this is where the game seems to go from just hard to punishing. So first up is stamina. This is her physical energy, right?
Right. Every move drains it. If that meter hits 0, her grip fails. You fall. Simple as that.
So you can't just climb continuously like in Tomb Raider or something.
No. You have to find rest stances on the wall. These are little spots where Avo can maybe stand on a ledge or hook an arm securely to recover her energy.
It creates a rhythm then. Move, move, rest. Move, move, rest.
Exactly. It paces the gameplay. Rushing will kill you. It forces you to literally take a breath. Then you have the second meter, body. This tracks the biological stuff. Hunger, thirst, temperature.
Right. I saw a mention of a portal edge. That's the hanging tent. Yeah.
Yes. And this is a mechanic I find so fascinating because of the contrast it creates. You literally have to set up camp on the side of a cave. You cook your food, you melt snow for water, and you sleep. If you neglect this, Avo gets hypothermia, she gets weaker, slower.
That sounds weirdly cozy in a terrifying way. Just hanging off a cliff in a sleeping bag while a blizzard rages outside.
It's this strange mix of domesticity and extreme danger. It really emphasizes the scale of the thing. You live on the wall. But the third meter, this is where the game does something really, really innovative. The psyche meter.
This one fascinated me. It tracks her mental state. I feel like a lot of games have tried to do sanity meters, you know, like an amnesia.
Mm-hmm. And they can be annoying.
Yeah, they can. How does Karen handle it?
It simulates the psychological toll of high-altitude solo climbing. So certain things will trigger it to go down. Staying in a really precarious position for too long, being in the dark, or, and this is brilliant, looking down into the abyss.
Wait, so if you, the player, look down, the character gets scared?
Yes, exactly. It mechanically forces you to focus on the ascent. And the consequences are severe. If her psyche drops too low, she can have a panic attack.
What does a panic attack look like in a video game? Is it just, like, a sound effect?
It's much more than that. The review says the screen starts to blur at the edges, simulating tunnel vision. The audio completely shifts from the wind to just the sound of a pounding heartbeat. And most critically, the controls become unresponsive and mushy.
Oh, that is evil. That is pure evil.
It's brilliant design. It simulates that loss of fine motor control that happens when you're terrified. When you panic in real life, your hands shake, you fumble, the game forces that fumbling on you.
So you're not just fighting the mountain, you're fighting your own brain. You have to manage your fear as a resource, just like your stamina.
Exactly. It turns fear into a core gameplay mechanic, not just, you know, an atmospheric detail.
That leads us perfectly into the next big point. The review makes a comparison that I feel like we hear all the time, but they insist it's actually accurate here. They compare Karen to Dark Souls.
I know. It's the comparison that gets thrown around for any hard game, right? It's the Dark Souls of cooking games.
Exactly. But the review, Ascending the Abyss, argues it's justified because of the punishment and reward philosophy.
Right. And it fits.
So why does it fit here, beyond just being difficult?
Okay, so first, it's about deliberate action. Think about a Souls game. If you hit the heavy attack button, you are committed to that whole animation. You can't cancel it. If you timed it wrong, you get hit. You have to live with that choice.
And in Karen, placing your hand is a commitment.
It's the same principle. You can't just spam climb. You can't mash buttons to scramble up a wall. Button mashing equals death. Every single input has to be intentional.
And the mountain itself is basically the boss fight.
That's the perfect way to look at it. There are no glowing markers showing you where to go. You have to read the rock face just like you'd read a boss's attack patterns. You look at the texture, the angle, the distance.
And making a mistake has a real cost. Taking the wrong route could cost you 30 minutes of progress.
30 minutes? That's brutal in modern gaming. We get annoyed if we lose 2 minutes. But that pain is essential for the reward to feel earned. If you could just respawn right where you fell, who cares about falling?
The review calls it the euphoria of success.
And it makes sense. If the climb was easy, reaching the top would just be a nice view. But when you have struggled for 2 hours, managing your fear, your rope, your hunger, and you finally pull yourself up onto a flat ledge, that sense of relief is identical to finally beating a boss you've been stuck on for days.
It's that huge dopamine hit. I survived.
I conquered. It transforms the landscape from something that wants to kill you into something you've mastered. And that's a satisfaction that only truly difficult games can provide.
Let's shift gears a little to the presentation. I mean, if you're going to stare at a rock wall for hours on end, it had better look good.
And apparently it looks incredible. It's built on Unreal Engine 5, and the review describes the texture work as photorealistic.
They mentioned you can almost feel the grit of the granite, the slickness of the ice.
Which is actually a gameplay mechanic here, right? Because like we said, you have to read the rock. You need to be able to visually distinguish a loose rock from a solid one. Mm. If the graphics were muddy, the whole game would fall apart.
You need to see the cracks, the subtle sheen of black ice. But what really caught my ear, pun intended, was the sound design, or the lack of it.
This is such a bold choice. There is almost no music during the climb.
So no epic orchestral score swelling as you get higher, no triumphant horns.
Nope. The soundscape is just the wind, the crunch of your crampons, and Avo's breathing.
That sounds incredibly lonely.
It creates what the reviewer calls suffocating immersion. It forces you to be present. Music tells you how to feel. You know, if sad music plays, you should feel sad. the silence.
Mm.
It removes that safety net. It just reminds you that you're alone and nature is totally indifferent.
The review explicitly says play this with headphones.
Oh, absolutely. You need to hear the wind changing direction to know if a blizzard is coming. You need to hear the specific scrape of a piton not setting correctly. The audio cues are survival cues.
Now, no game is perfect. The source material does mention the technical side of things. How does Cairn actually run?
It seems like a pretty solid release, but with some minor blemishes. On the current gen consoles, PS5 and Xbox Series, there are some frame rate drops.
Is that during the climbing?
Mostly during heavy blizzard effects with all the snow particles.
Yeah.
Which is kind of understandable. They also noted a few physics glitches.
Like the rope acting up?
Yeah, occasionally the rope will clip through Avo's character model. You know, passes through her leg like a ghost.
Breaks the immersion a little bit.
A tiny bit. But the verdict seems to be that these are pretty minor issues in an otherwise really polished experience. Not a deal breaker.
Okay, so let's wrap this all up with the final verdict. The review is very clear. This game is not for everyone.
Definitely not. And I think we should be clear to our listeners, too. If you want fast action, explosions, or instant gratification, you will hate Cairn. You'll find it slow, frustrating, tedious.
It sounds like a game that demands your patience. It demands you meet it on its own terms.
It demands respect. But if you're the right kind of player, someone who respects a game that respects your intelligence, it's a masterpiece.
And they gave it a pretty high score.
A 9 out of 10 from Tekken Game.
That's really impressive, especially for such a niche genre.
It is. They called out the deep gameplay and that innovative psyche system as the major pros. The cons were just those minor bugs and, well, the extremely steep learning curve.
It really feels like a game that proves a point. The review ends on this idea that in an era of monsters and guns, Cairn shows that sometimes a simple vertical wall is enough to create true fear.
It strips away all the fantasy violence and leaves you with something primal. Gravity, cold, and your own will to keep moving. It's a battle against physics, and physics never loses.
So here's the question we want to leave you with. It's one thing to fight a zombie or a dragon in a game, right? You know they aren't real. You can turn the console off and they just disappear.
But gravity. Gravity is real. The cold is real.
Exactly. Cairn simulates a struggle that's very much a part of our own reality. We've all stood on a high ledge and felt that pull.
It's frightening because it's plausible.
So do you have the guts to conquer the mountain knowing the only enemy is your own ability to endure? Or are you going to stay safe at base camp?
I think I know where I'll be.
Me too. Safe and warm with a controller in my hand, sweating bullets, and probably falling off the same ledge 10 times in a row. Thanks for diving in with us today.
Until next time.